Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favor rests. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Still trapped inside,
the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat.
Tensions
the calf
came to a head
and the lion
Friday
and the yearling together.
When a convoy of hundreds
and
of
a little child
was
will lead them.
And turned back by pro-government
the Lord gives
militiamen.
His strength to
Colombia,
his
which suffered a Zika
the Lord
epidemic
blesses
that
his people
in
with
February,
peace.
Has reported
love
four times
faithfulness
as many
meet
cases
together.
Of babies born
righteousness
with microencephaly
each
this
other.
Year as they
faithfulness
did in
springs
2015,
forth from the earth,
providing more proof
and righteousness
that the
looks
Zika
down
virus
from
causes
heaven.
Brain damage in infants.
The people
an
walking in darkness have seen a great light.
Turkey,
on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
Saturday, killing at least 13
peace
people
I leave
and
with you.
Dozens
my
in
peace
the second
I give
major
you.
Attack,
I do not give
Turkey's
to you as the world gives.
Authorities said.
Do not let your hearts be troubled and do
the
not
Pentagon
be afraid.
On Friday demanded the return of an underwater
therefore,
drone that was
since
seized
we have been
by China as an American crew
faith,
was moving in to retrieve
we have peace
it.
With
the episode
God through our Lord Jesus
increase
Christ.
Tensions in a region already fraught
for
with
he himself
power
is our peace.
Rivalries.
Who has made the two groups one,
one day,
and has destroyed
after
the barrier,
Vanity Fair printed a
the dividing
highly
wall of hostility
of his
by setting aside in his
Donald
flesh
Trump
the law
escalated his
with its commands and regulations.
Editor calling
he
him
came
a
and
no
preached
talent.
Peace to you who are far
a
away
North Carolina
and peace
man
to
who
those who are near.
A Washington
for through him we
fake
both
news
have access to the Father by one
child
spirit.
Sex ring, had planned
rejoice
the
in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
Homeless after an earthquake
and the peace of God, which transcends
Indonesia,
all understanding,
has soared
will guard your hearts and minds in Christ
000,
Jesus.
Leaving authorities struggling to care for the victims.
For to us a child
an official
is born,
said Tuesday.
To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So in which story do you find yourself in? When we listened just now, which story did you feel a part of? This morning I want us to consider these two different stories. Stories that continually vie for our attention as though we're the rope in a game of tug of war. The story of the empire and the story of the kingdom. The empire is the stories we read in the newspaper each day. The kingdom, the story of Scripture. Sometimes it's hard to hear when both are talking so loud. And just who is the Prince of Peace? The one promised us in God's story. So let's start by thinking about the empire. What is the empire? It's woven through the ancient texts of Scripture. God's people are constantly being overpowered by empires, enslaved by Egypt. Assyria exiled them. Rome occupied them. The story of the empire is one of consistent and constant war, unrest, violence, and pain. The story of petty jealousy, ethnic strife, mistrust. The story that keeps us up at night, wondering why. This is the story of the empire into which Jesus was born. The Roman Empire, we will call it something else today, but we're still in it, is a story of people living without accepting or honoring what God has for them. Ironically, Jesus was born during the time of the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, a peace held together by coercion, with bitter unrest constantly bubbling up not too far from the surface. Nothing has changed much, has it? We could have read the ancient headlines from Bethlehem or Jerusalem, and it would have sounded familiar to us. Racial tension, violence between black and white, between Jewish and Roman. A family with a young babe fleeing, not Aleppo, but Bethlehem. There's constant news of intrigue and celebrity, not from Hollywood or Trump Tower, but from the palace of King Herod. Not much has changed. The trappings of the empire are very much with us today. Peace has never been something the empire has been good at giving. Whether it's the peace we long for here economically, globally, relationally, in terms of health, we have all experienced a lack of peace. We experience a lack of peace in our day. We all want security and something that will give us a sense of peace, from the least to the greatest. The story of peace in the empire is an ambiguous political chant, a story of magic, as it were, a story of wishful thinking. Who is the prince of peace in the empire? The person with the most force, the biggest weapons, the most power on social media, the one who can silence all the other voices. The Romans used to call it bread and circus. If the people had two things only the people anxiously desire, bread and circuses. The government kept the Roman populace happy by distributing free food and staging huge spectacles. It's like saying, abracadabra, don't look behind the curtain. You have peace if you have food and entertainment. In the call to confession this morning, Mickey read a passage from Jeremiah. It says this: all are greedy for gain, prophets and priests alike. All practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. The only way to have peace in the empire is to win. This means someone else loses. And this means we all lose. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. We all live in this world. The pull is strong. The characteristics of the empire are hostility, aggression, greed, conflict, and violence. Any thought of peace in the time of Isaiah, and I'm afraid in the time of a war in Syria, Yemen, even here, is coercive. Political, empire-style peace is about disarmament. It's involuntary. There are winners and losers. But it's really not permanent peace, is it? And so we see this even today, and we're weary. We long to be saved from ourselves, politically, economically, personally, in our bodies, in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds. And you see, that's the other end of that tug-of-war rope, the kingdom of God. Jesus came to redeem us from this system of empire, to banish evil forever. But he didn't come in a way that the empire would expect. Not by force, not with a sword or a magic wand did the Prince of Peace come and seek to abolish evil. Consider the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a Soviet dissident. For he said this: if only it were all so simple. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of their own heart? What's the story of the kingdom? Christmas is all about God's kingdom breaking into the story of the empire. A story of hope and peace, the story of God's kingdom. That's not the kind of peace we consider when we read his name, Jesus, Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom, completeness, mutual flourishing, soundness, welfare, safe and sound. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and a prince has a kingdom. This is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus proclaimed it. His primary purpose for becoming incarnate was to usher in the kingdom of God. We read about it 51 times in the Gospel of Luke. We read about it 31 times in the Gospel of Matthew. Can you think of some of the ways that Jesus describes the kingdom of God? It's a pearl of great price, and everything is sacrificed to get that pearl. It's a place where the lost are found. It's a place where we come as children. It's a vineyard in which there are laborers. There's healing in the ministry of Jesus. There's a banquet, a feast, a party. There's seed growing in the soil, the mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, growing into the largest tree of all. He talks about yeast and dough. And he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. A kingdom that is already, but not yet fully realized. And this is absolutely revolutionary. Brian McLaren, the author of the book, The Secret Message of Jesus, says this. Jesus says again and again, this kingdom advances neither with violence nor bloodshed, with neither hatred nor revenge. It is not just another one of those kingdoms of this world. No, this kingdom advances slowly, quietly, under the surface, like yeast in dough, like seed in soil. It advances with faith. When people believe it is true, it becomes true. And it advances with reconciling, forgiving love. When people love strangers and enemies, the kingdom gains ground. It is a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of shalom. Violent revolutions in this sense aren't revolutionary. Noisy regime changes are utterly predictable, brought about by displays of power and hollow promises and indomitable wealth. In contrast, the message of Jesus may well be called the most revolutionary of all times. W.B. White writes this, the radical revolutionary empire of God is here, advancing by reconciliation and peace, expanding by faith, hope, and love, beginning with the poorest, the weakest, the meekest, and the least. It's time to change your thinking. Everything is about change. It's time for a new way of life. Believe me. Follow me. Believe this good news so that you can learn to live by it and be part of the revolution of Jesus Christ, which comes through peace. So the kingdom of God, compared to the powerful empire, is on the one hand laughable. It seems the crazy dreams of prophets, of poets, and artists, not the strategy of generals and politicians. Anyone who believes it should be laughed at or perhaps even pitied. It's hard to imagine anything more unrealistic. Perhaps pathetic is a most fitting word for it. On the other hand, what kind of revolution could possibly change the world? Perhaps what's crazy is what we're doing and pursuing instead. Thinking, after all these millennia, that hate can conquer hate, war cure war, pride overcome pride, violence end violence, revenge stop revenge, and exclusion create cohesion. Perhaps we're the crazy ones. If the empire produces peace by magic, the kingdom of God brings peace through miracle. This is not a sleight of hand or bread and circus kind of thing. Actually, many people who follow Jesus Christ suffer. It is not comfortable or easy to follow Jesus, but the incarnation itself wasn't comfortable or easy. What is the primary message of the gospel? Why did Jesus come? Did he come so we could all be with him in eternity? Is justification by grace through faith the free gift of salvation? Is that why he came? Absolutely yes to all of those. But that's not what he spent most of his time talking about. Mostly he spent time trying to make us understand the kingdom of God. That our primary purpose is to live in good and right interactive relationship with God as King and with all other people as fellow citizens. Jesus and his grand vision of the kingdom of God, and we're a part of it. And that is shalom. That is peace. So which story are we in? The story of the empire? Or the story of the kingdom of God? Both, really. The story of the empire, whether the Egyptian or Roman or even consumerism, and the story of the kingdom of God. If we try to find our peace in the empire, it will be elusive. If we seek the kingdom of God, peace and shalom, it belongs to us. Shalom. Blessed are the peacemakers. What does it mean for us to live in peace? It means that we forgive, that we share generously, that we break class stratification, that we attend to the vulnerable and the unproductive, that we show humility in the face of exaltation, that the last in a world of aggressive, that we become last in a world of aggressive firstness, that we deny ourselves for the sake of Christ and for the sake of neighbor. What is this peace? Where does it come from? God gives peace. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. It comes to us not because we manufacture it. No, the peace of God surpasses all understanding, helping us to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples, his followers, and he tells us in the Gospel of John, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world." This is not a magical sleight of hand. There's no need to use the words abracadabra, presto changeo. It's a miraculous gift from God, from the Prince of Peace, who longs for us to follow not the dominant empire of this world, but the ways of the kingdom of God. And so in closing, I have a few questions to consider. Where does your peace come from? Are you looking for the empire to give you peace? Bread and circus, win-lose, competition and greed? Or are you looking for the kingdom of God with its Prince of Peace to work a miracle in you, to change you into a person who lives in the true shalom, which he longs to give us? Will you pray with me? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, how we could use in our lives right now, in our world, better yet, in the world that you've created, and we've so messed up because of our sin. We long for you to be a wonderful counselor. We long for you to be a mighty God exercising power and authority to set things right. We long for you as an everlasting Father to love us, to care for us, to protect us, to provide for us, to give us what we need, and help us to realize that what we want will never make us happy. And Lord, we need you as the Prince of Peace to give us peace in our hearts, to give us peace in our families, to give us peace in our communities, peace at work, peace at school, peace in the community, peace in this world which is far and beyond what we can imagine. But we know it's right. Lord, we lift these things to you as we journey toward the day we call Christmas. For we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who is all these things and more. Amen.